Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Pastor Dave. That's Pastor Jeff. And we are from Revolution Church in Salina,
Merry
Kansas.
Merry Christmas. We are having a Christmas Eve service this year on Christmas Eve.
That's probably a good thing to have the Christmas Eve service on Christmas Eve.
Last year, we had our Christmas Eve service on Christmas Day.
Wouldn't that just be a Christmas Day service?
You don't know me.
I thought I did, but I guess I don't. I guess 11 years doesn't count for much.
I don't know what to do when I'm wrong. All right. So we're going to have a Christmas Eve service on Christmas Eve, even though last year we didn't have a Christmas Eve service.
Right. There you go.
We had a Christmas Day service.
Thank you.
Well, we decided we don't like Christmas Day. We like Christmas Eve. Plus, it's on a Sunday, so we're going to have Christmas Eve service on a Sunday.
We're kind of forced to this year.
And today we're talking about Christmas Day, Eve, era, epic.
Right.
Because this is the We Will Ruin Your Christmas special.
Not in a Grinch kind of way, but...
No, in a factual kind of way. This is everything you don't want to know about Christmas. Actually, someone left our church one time about this.
Yeah. Everything you think you know, but are probably wrong about Christmas, right?
Someone was at... Yes. Yeah, okay. Someone was at our church years ago, and I shared one of these pieces of information. They got so mad that they never came back. I mean, occasionally, but like pretty much left.
Well, let's be very, very clear here. The disclaimer before the show, basically, okay?
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is we're going to say this. Okay. There are certain things... certain beliefs that have no effect on your salvation whatsoever. Okay. So when we dispel some of these myths, just understand, stop it, Jeff. This so you understand these things that we talk about not being in the Bible is because they're not in the Bible. Yeah.
For rizzle.
For real.
So when we say this, don't get mad. Just be like, well, that's something new I didn't know before. We're going to dispel some myths, things that I just watched a Christmas movie with my kids. And I'm sitting there watching the movie and I'm going, that's not real. But you know what? I could still enjoy the Christmas movie.
Right.
Because it's just, it's Christmas. We have some traditions in our culture. They don't line up with facts. But you know what? Right. We talk about Santa Claus.
Yeah.
We talk about Easter Bunny. Mm-hmm. We do some stuff that we do things that don't have to line up with facts. You can still get emotional, warm fuzzies about. Today, we're just going to talk about the facts. So if you don't want the facts, stop listening to the podcast right now.
No, we want them to listen to the facts.
Well, I hope they do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, myth number one. This is the one that really, really people just get upset about.
Okay.
So we're just going to do it right out the gate, right out the stable gate.
All right. We are taught that Mary and Joseph arrived at an inn, but it was full, so they had to stay in a stable.
Probably not true.
You know, this happens to me every time I travel.
Dave, you have to stay in a hotel.
Yes.
And you're told no.
Right.
And you stay in a stable.
Right. I'm lying. I can't keep that straight up.
Two myths busted so far. Okay, so Mary and Joseph, everyone says Mary and Joseph went to a hotel and it was full. So they had to go stay in a stable instead.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
Probably not true. And right now you're thinking, but that's what the Bible says. I know that's what the Bible says.
No.
That's not what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. Listen, okay, this is Luke chapter. It just makes me really happy to know that people's heads are exploding.
Right.
Okay. Luke chapter 22, verse 11 says this.
And say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is the guest room? Where I may eat the Passover with my disciples.
Okay, that's Jesus talking. Remember this? This is...
Right. Sounds like that's out of context, but it's not. We'll bring it all together.
We'll bring it again. Okay, we're talking about... This is Jesus. He's talking about eating his Last Supper, right? Where we get our communion from.
Right.
And he said, where is the guest room that I can eat Passover with my disciples? Now, do you see the word hotel in there anywhere?
No.
No, there's no hotel in that verse.
No, there is a guest room at the hotel.
Right. Well, this is what we're getting to.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a guest room in this verse.
Okay. Yeah.
There is a guest room. The word inn that's often translated in the Christmas story is from a Greek word, kataluma, which actually means guest room.
No.
It actually means guest room. And when the Bible translates this in other places, it doesn't translate it hotel or inn. It translates it guest room.
Gotcha.
Like right here, you heard Jesus say, where's the guest room? He didn't say, where's the hotel? He said, where's the guest room? And everyone knows he's talking about a room to eat in. Well, Mary and Joseph went to a guest room, but there wasn't room in the guest room. Think about it. Why were they going to Bethlehem?
It was for the census.
There was a census. Mm-hmm. It required everyone to go where?
To their hometown. The hometown of the groom, correct?
I believe so. Yeah. Right. So their hometown. They had to go to their hometown. Mm-hmm. If you are going to the hometown of your family's ancestors, mm-hmm. there are probably some ancestors, relatives, family there.
Right. Already there. Mm-hmm.
If it was their hometown. Right. Relatives probably had a guest room. But unfortunately, Aunt Janine was already there, so Aunt Janine got the guest room.
Right.
Luke chapter 10, verse 34, here's another situation with Jesus talking.
All right. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him.
Okay, now there's the word hotel, right?
Yeah.
Jesus is talking about this guy took him to an inn, a hotel. That's the Greek word. I don't really know how to pronounce this one very well. I'm not going to say it.
Pandakion?
Something like that.
Something like that.
And that was wildly inaccurate.
Well, you know, it's just me.
but it's actually an
Pinocchio?
Inn. Pinocchio on. And so Mary, that is the Greek word for inn or for hotel, but that is not the word that's used in the Christmas story.
Okay.
Mary and Joseph didn't go to a hotel. They went to a guest room of a family. Plus, even if you just look at the facts, the inns and the hotels were only on the main roads to Jerusalem and Jericho.
Right. I mean, that's the way it is today. You don't see inns and hotels on back roads.
That's right.
You see inns and hotels on the main fairways.
That's right. Back then, there's no reason to believe that there were hotels near Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to believe that.
It's like small town USA.
Yeah.
Well, not USA, small town Jerusalem. Small town Israel. Sorry.
Small town BC, right. Israel. Furthermore, hotels and inns were normally only used by Romans and foreigners, not Jewish people. Mm-hmm. Jewish people didn't use inns because, especially Jewish people with little money, like Mary and Joseph, especially people wouldn't stay in an inn if there was family nearby. It would have been an insult to them.
Yeah, they would come and drag you to the house.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so a Jewish person with very little money, who has family nearby, when the woman's about to give birth to stay in a hotel.
Four strikes.
I mean, that would have been unthinkable. That would have been unthinkable. Mm-hmm. Could you just imagine coming to a town, being pregnant, having no money to stay in a hotel, and your family's like, nope, get out of here.
Right.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Not happening.
Right. So the Christmas myth is debunked. They didn't try to stay at a hotel. It was more likely a relative's guest room. Mm-hmm. And because they couldn't stay in the guest room, they had to stay elsewhere, which we're going to talk a little bit about later. Okay. I don't want to blow two myths up at once because you're still emotionally dealing with the one we just did right now.
It's too soon, Jeff.
What do you mean they didn't stay at a hotel? My Christmas is ruined.
Take down all the decorations. It's over.
I'm not getting any presents this year.
Yeah.
Not now. Mm-hmm. All right. Myth number two.
Yeah, this may actually be the one that causes you to just forget about Christmas altogether.
Are you serious? You think this is the biggest deal?
Oh, I don't know. Jesus was born on December 25th.
That is a myth.
What?
That is a myth.
You can't tell me that. He just did.
I just did. Let's read Luke. Here's why. Let's read Luke chapter 22, which is going to point out why it's not
on
December. You mean
Luke chapter 2, right?
Did I say 22?
Yeah.
Thanks for correcting me again today.
You're welcome.
You're on a roll.
I'm on a roll. Luke 2:8 says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night.
Shepherds only kept flocks.
Well, you're on a roll too.
Kept watch over their flocks at night during warm seasons. I don't know if you know this or not, but December 25th is cold.
It is.
All right. During the cold season, they grazed and were out during the day. If their shepherds were watching their flocks at night, it was probably in the summer, not the winter.
Right. So we're probably looking at maybe August.
Yeah. Or June.
Or June. I would say August because that's when my birthday is. It'd be cool if me and
Jesus had the same birthday.
Something in common. Not necessarily the same birthday, but, you know, just
be the same month.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
That would be
for me.
Yeah. Good for you. Okay. In fact, early Christians chose December 25th. Why? Why did they choose December 25th? Because there was supposedly a birth of a false god on December 25th. Mm. During the pagan festival of Rome, it was the feast of the goddess Brutus.
Right. Who actually later on stabbed Nero in the back.
No. You need to go back and do eighth grade history again.
Sorry. It was the wrong Brutus and wrong Caesar.
The wrong Brutus? Okay. Mm-hmm. E2, Dave. People often say things like, Christmas isn't really about Jesus because it was placed on this day because of a pagan celebration, right? You may have heard people say that.
Yes.
Okay, well, this is true. So we're agreeing that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. And that doesn't mean we can't celebrate his birth on December 25th, because I want you to understand this. They put it on December 25th as a rival celebration mm-hmm. to a false god. Mm-hmm. They were saying, our God is better. Mm-hmm. Our God is the real mm-hmm. God. We're going to celebrate our God's birthday.
Yes.
On your fake God's birthday.
Absolutely.
And guess what? 2,000 years later, who won?
We win.
We won.
Game over.
Game over. So December 25th is the day we celebrate it. Booyah.
Booyah.
My 6-year-old son likes to say booyah now.
Yeah.
It's awesome. He actually was in the bathroom one day at church, and there was someone going to the bathroom already. Mm-hmm. My son walked in. Someone's in the stall. The guy in the stall related this to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's my son walks in, he notices there's someone in the stall, and he says, hey, who's in there? And the guy's like, it's none of your business. And my son is like, it is to my business. And the guy goes, you know what? I'm going to tell your dad, I know where you live. And Simeon goes, oh yeah, you don't know where I live. The guy goes, yeah, I do. And then my son says, oh yeah, well, I'm in kindergarten. So booyah. So, I think I missed part of the story. The guy said it was none of his business who was in there. Mm-hmm. And then Simeon goes, it is too my business. My dad's the pastor. Like, anyway.
He owns the world.
He owns mm-hmm. the world.
Right.
His dad's the pastor. Right. So he gets to know
who's doing what.
That's right. And he's in kindergarten. So mm-hmm. booyah. All right. Let's go to myth number 3.
All right. Joseph and Mary arrived to Bethlehem late at night.
The Bible doesn't say when. Mm-mm. And actually, this is interesting. The movie I just watched, and I can't remember the name of it. It's the one about the donkey. It's like a kid's Christmas one.
Shrek?
No. That does have a donkey in it. But this was like a kid's Christmas one. It's out nowadays. Should I just look it up really quick and see what it is? Okay. Kids donkey Christmas movie. And Google is telling me it's called The Star. That's right.
Okay.
The Star. It's actually a really good Christmas movie. If you haven't seen it, go ahead and take your kids to it.
A talking donkey?
Yeah, there's a talking donkey, all sorts of animals. It's kind of like Jesus' birth from the animal's perspective.
Oh, gotcha.
And like this donkey longs for having meaning in his life, and he wants to carry a king on his back, and you know, he ends up having to carry this pregnant lady, and I just kind of like how the story unfolds. And
I see what they did there.
It brought tears to my eyes at the end. It really did. The Star is a good movie. Now it's factually inaccurate when it comes to some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Right, they go to
because donkeys don't talk,
right?
I mean, first and foremost, right?
You got what you get, Dave. Yeah. So that's true. But it's also, you know, they went to a hotel, mm-hmm. but like, I don't care. I mean, it was a good movie, and they were as faithful as a talking donkey cartoon movie is going to be faithful to the Bible.
Exactly.
And
good point.
It was good. It was good for my kids. So take the kids to that movie. But in that movie, they didn't really arrive late at night to the inns. Yeah. It got late at night before he was born, but the Bible doesn't actually say whether it was late at night or in the afternoon when they arrived. We drive, but they only could walk 10 to 15 miles a day.
Right.
They knew how long they would have to travel.
Oh, yeah. And that's another thing. I mean, you know, there's bandits out on the roads.
Yes. Traveling at night was dangerous.
Right.
And so they probably arrived in the late afternoon, most likely. Okay. We're going to finish our other myths when we come back. And, if we have time, we could do some interesting facts about Santa Claus.
Whoa, look out.
If you really want to make yourselves angry about Christmas.
we're just doing it.
Christmas Eve services 2017 mm-hmm. start at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yep, 11:30
in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then 5:30 p.m.
Yes, and 7 p.m.
So you can go to any of those. Of course, get out to revo.church. That's... Mm-hmm.
REVO.church.
Revo.church. REVO.church. You can find all our service times there. We're going to list the Christmas stuff really soon. So if it's not up by now, it probably should be, but you'll have to check it out. Also, you know, in the next couple weeks on Truth Revolution, I think we're going to try to share a song that we did with the worship team.
Okay.
A modern worship song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Hopefully you'll check back for that.
That's a really modern song.
well, we modernized the song. Right. Dave's harassing me today, and I'm not sure I like it.
It's my job.
We'll be right back.
Revolution Church.
Have you ever thought, gee, I'd like to go to church, and I really wish someone would make me get out of bed early?
Not me. I like my sleep.
Just go with it. We're making an ad.
Okay. Yes, I have always wished someone would wake me up earlier.
Okay, I got lots of kids, so I'm already awake. New service time at Revolution Church, 8:30 a.m.
Cool, and for those of us who prefer beauty sleep, Revolution also has 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m.
Check out www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Revo.church.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give, give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit hopehouseks.org.
That's hopehouseks.org.
God cares more about the inside of a person than the outside.
So Revolution Church, we agree. Want to show up wearing old sweatpants and an eye patch? You're good.
What if they don't need an eye patch?
Literally doesn't matter.
We're more concerned about what God wants for you.
We do teaching from the Bible. It's in-depth, super practical, meaning
there's not even time to waste on what someone is wearing.
Seriously, come on out. Maybe you'll find someone to swap an eye patch with.
www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
The most glorious question one can ask today is this.
Is it scientific?
We want to know whether things are scientifically proven, and that's a good thing.
We love science.
Truth. It can lead us to truth.
One problem, however, is that science is not the only way to find truth.
For some reason, we've elevated science above all other disciplines in our culture.
But philosophy can guide us to logical and epistemological realities.
Archaeology can help us discover truths.
Not to mention psychology,
theology, sociology,
and math. Heck, even art can help us explore truth.
So while asking whether something is scientific is fine, be sure not to exclude other methods of finding what is real.
Quick example. Scientists engage in study about the beginning of the universe and whether it's eternally old.
But philosophy already answered that question. You cannot traverse an infinite amount of time and end up here.
Science. It's awesome, but it's not the only way to gain knowledge.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. I got you. That's what Dave always says.
All right. First of all, we came out from the break without him even warning me that we were coming out of the break, so I wasn't prepared anyway. And so we came out of the break, and I drew a breath, and he had already drawn his breath and just went for it.
Zing. Yeah. All right.
Thanks,
so,
man.
Thanks for listening to our, what did we call the show? You're going to hate us because of our Christmas
facts. No, we will ruin Christmas for you.
We will ruin Christmas for you. If we haven't ruined Christmas already, we have a few more attempts. Let us try, Dave.
Right, okay.
Myth number 4.
The innkeeper had no alternative but to put Mary and Joseph in a stable at night.
Okay. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
There weren't stables then.
What? I mean, there weren't stables.
There weren't stables for all kinds of animals. Like, other animals were brought into the house at night.
Mm-hmm.
Animals, hear that? Yeah. Animals are brought into the house at night. This isn't a stable. This was a family home. Remember, they didn't go to a hotel. They went to homes. And then these homes wouldn't have had stables. These homes brought animals into the house at night.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. Myth number 5.
Myth number 5. Mary gave birth to Jesus the night they arrived.
That's not necessarily true. No. Luke says, while they were there, the days were completed. Joseph probably didn't travel on the day of Jesus' birth.
Right. Can you imagine Mary being like, what?
Yeah.
I'm feeling like this. I'm like ready to pop.
Yeah.
And you're going to make me travel on a donkey.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, any kind of guy is not going to be like, hey, get on the donkey. We got 50 miles to go today. And she's like, I'm about to give birth. He's right. Like, you know what? just deal with it.
You know what that says to me is Joseph's not that good of a planner. You know what I mean?
Okay, but this is the myth, okay? Right,
yeah.
So yeah, the movie The Star, yeah, they arrive and they're looking for hotels and she's about to have the baby right there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what else happens, but like, you know, that's what people think.
Right.
They get there that day. Jesus was born that night. They could have been there a month.
Yeah.
They could have been there a year.
Right. Because back then, I mean, when you traveled, it was a big deal. You probably didn't want to travel all the time because you would be.
Exactly.
Going from point A to point B.
Exactly.
You know,
so and then back. Probably wasn't born. And then here's myth number six.
Oh, no. Mary was alone in the stable when Jesus was born.
In middle or lower class home, there were three parts. There was a family room. There was a place where the animals were at night. Then there was an extra room partitioned off from the family.
The guest room?
The guest room. Yeah, the whole family was in the same house. Mm-hmm. And Mary and Joseph. So let's put all these puzzle pieces together. Okay. There was no stable. They weren't trying to go to a hotel. They couldn't get in the guest room, but they went to a family member's home. People brought animals into the house at night. So probably what happened was they showed up to their family's home. Mm-hmm. Aunt Janine already had the guest room. They were like, Mary and Joseph, we'll just put you in the family room, or we'll put you in the big room.
Right.
And in the big room was where some of the animals were during the night.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where they would have put a manger, which is what animals eat out of. And since Mary and Joseph were in the main room when they had the baby, which makes sense, they just put Jesus in the manger. See, we take Jesus being in a manger.
Right.
And we think, oh, Jesus was in a manger. Animals,
in a barn.
Yeah, animals ate out of a manger. So he must have been in a stable or in a barn. And he must have been in the barn because they couldn't have gone to a hotel because we would go to a hotel. But
right.
No, they didn't go to a hotel. They went to a family member's house and they couldn't get in the extra guest room. So that's in the main area. They brought animals in at night. And so there was a manger there in the room.
Right. And like you were saying, to your point, the main problem is that we extrapolate the ancient times by looking at what we have in modern day times.
Yes.
and overlay the one over the other and say, oh, it must have been that way.
And that's not how you do it.
Right.
All right, let's do a Bible contradiction.
All right.
Bible contradiction.
All right. We're going to talk about, since we're talking about the birth of Jesus, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Matthew 1:23 also says the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay, so here's the problem.
Okay.
The Greek Septuagint, which Matthew used, translates it as a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. But the Hebrew word Alma means young woman of marriageable age, not a virgin.
So was Mary just a young woman?
Right.
Or was she actually a virgin?
Right.
Yeah, you got to use your microphone.
Yeah, sorry.
So essentially this is true. It's true that the word Isaiah uses is the word for young woman.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go ahead and use our cracked acronym, the D for dialect.
Right.
In Isaiah's use of the word young woman, that is synonymous with virgin. If I told you, man, I'm getting married to a girl and she is pure, she's untouched.
Right.
She's innocent. You would know exactly what I meant.
She didn't commit murder. She was innocent.
Yes, Dave, that is exactly what I mean. I'm getting married to someone who's never committed murder.
That's probably a good thing.
It is a good That would be a good thing. I wonder if your life insurance rates would be higher if you were married to someone who's been convicted of murder.
Probably higher, I'm sure.
But I have life insurance. They didn't ask me that question.
Well, it may be the same.
Has your spouse or anyone in your family ever been convicted of murder?
Oh, boy.
Anyway, so you use these words all the time to imply things like, hey, has she ever had sex? You wouldn't necessarily say it. You'd say, you know, is she pure? You know, is she innocent? Mm-hmm. I mean, things like that. Well, Isaiah used the word young woman, and he's implying something about that. And Matthew is just telling us in very explicit terms, yeah, when Isaiah said young woman, he meant virgin.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's not just the book of Matthew that does this. We use E for early meaning and manuscripts. We can go all the way back to 200 BC, okay, before Christ was born. And the Jews would translate Greek, the Old Testament into the Greek language. And when the Jews translated this word before Jesus was even born,
right,
they would translate it into the Greek word for virgin, not into the Greek word for young lady.
Right.
Meaning for hundreds of years, they understood, this prophecy was a prophecy saying it was going to be a virgin, not just a young lady. They all knew it when they read it for hundreds of years.
Right.
That's the answer for a Bible contradiction
today.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Which one are we on here? Oh, that was the last one, huh?
Well, we got some Christmas stuff still about Santa, but did we talk about this book last week?
We did not, I don't think. I'm pretty sure we didn't.
We were going to be able to interview Jana Magruder, the author of this book. Unfortunately, we had some scheduling problems, so we had to cancel that. But this book, Nothing Less, is an amazing book.
You keep saying that, and you make me want to read it.
Yeah, and you don't even have any kids.
Right.
This, if you're a parent and you want your child to know Jesus, highly recommend this book. I highly recommend this book. It is a statistical study of 20,000 evangelical Christians, okay? Revolution Church, evangelical Christians. They studied 20,000, 2,000 Protestant adults who finished taking the parenting jury with one or more kids aged 18 to 30. In other words, they have kids, but the kids grew up.
Right.
And so they asked the parents and the grown-up kids questions about how the kids were raised. And they said, hey, did you read the Bible when you were growing up? They would ask the parent, did your kid read the Bible growing up? And they would ask them all kinds of questions. And they identified 10 things that are the most important for kids to have growing up that is most likely to lead them to Jesus.
Right.
So we got these pretty graphs and stuff here. I like
those. Are pretty.
You like colorful things,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah.
All right. The number one positive influencer is whether or not the child regularly read the Bible while they're growing up.
Yeah.
That's the number one influencer on whether or not your child's going to follow God and be a good Christian, whatever that means. Is it going to follow Jesus when they get older?
Right.
Okay. Have spiritual health. So that's important.
Such a good Christian.
So, you know, I just started doing, I used to read my Bible like in the office out of my private time in here. Mm-hmm. Easier to do away from the family. I've got 7 kids.
Oh, yeah.
But when I realized this, I was like, I need to model this for my kids. So
amen.
I started reading my Bible in the hallway at night in front of the kids when they would go to bed. Because they're always like, Dad, will you just sit up here with us? So I started going, sure, I'm going to sit in the hallway while you're trying to go to sleep, and I'm just going to read my Bible. And so I would tell them, okay, guys, be quiet. I'm going to read my Bible. Uh-huh. I've been doing this for like a few weeks now. And a couple days ago, my son picked up his Action Bible and he started reading it. And he's been reading it more since I started doing that.
That's awesome.
And my other girl told me, Dad, I've read most of this part of the Bible and I'm thinking I want to read the Bible more. And they're starting to express interest in reading the Bible. Why? Because I'm modeling.
Right. Absolutely. The kids are going to do what they see their parents doing.
Exactly. And so in here, I realized this was the number one fact. I realized that we got to do this. Mm-hmm. Number four thing was that children primarily listen to Christian music. When I went, whoa, that is huge. That's like a 8% higher predictor that your child's going to follow Jesus if they primarily listen to Christian music. So what do we do? My wife and I said, we're going to spend some money. You know how much money it costs to buy tickets to a Christian concert? When you got 9 people in your family?
Right, yeah.
It was a
even if
lot
it's a
of
cheap
money.
One, I mean.
Yeah, so we said, hey, we're going to take our kids to a concert, get them interested in Christian music.
Deal.
And so, yeah, get the book, Nothing Less, Jana Magruder. It's an important book. All right, let's get back to this, Dave. It's almost time to go, but let's do one more thing about Santa.
Interesting facts about Santa Claus.
The real Santa Claus, St. Nicholas, punched a guy named Arius for saying that Jesus was created, not always existing.
Right.
So they were in this big council, and Arius was claiming that Jesus didn't exist eternally, that Jesus was a creation of the Father.
Right.
And this made St. Nicholas so mad, he stood up, he walked over there, whacked him across the face, got arrested, got put in jail.
There's Santa Claus for you.
Santa Claus was on the naughty list.
He's got a record now.
So if you've been in jail, hey, Santa got nothing against you, man.
Right. There you go.
Just be like, hey, I know what you did, Santa.
Yeah, well, it just makes him even more qualified to know who's naughty and nice, right?
That's right. Hey, I've been on both sides of the law. I know exactly who's naughty and nice. All right, thanks for listening to the Truth Revolution.
Uh-huh.
Come on out on Christmas Eve. If you want to know more about Revolution Church's Christmas Eve service, go to
Revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church. Of course, course, you can always get to our website, truthrevolution.tv, because there's past shows, there's truth shots. We've got 5 years worth of shows. Someone said to me the other day, hey, I got a question for you. Then they asked the question. They followed it up by saying, actually, you probably already did a regular show on that, didn't
right.
you?
Yeah. I think that's 6 years worth of shows.
Six years worth of shows. So, yeah. And I was like, well, yeah, actually, we did do a show on that. And so they went and looked it up, you know, I sent them the show. Lots of great stuff. You can search on there, find questions, almost anything you want. Thanks for listening. Come on out to Christmas Eve. Hopefully we didn't ruin Christmas for you.